Well, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and now we enter into the Christmas season together. And you know, when I think about the holidays, I get a little nostalgic because I get thinking about, you know, past Christmases and past holidays, and I always go back to think about my grandma, my grandmother on my mother's side, because she was always come to our home for Thanksgiving. She would cook the turkey, and then she'd be helping us out during the Christmas season as well. And she was just a wonderful grandma. And I remember one particular episode that happened, that it was sometime during the holidays, and we were going into the kitchen, and I was a young guy, maybe 10 or 12, and there was a pressure cooker on the stovetop with a chicken in it. And grandma was talking about this, and she said, you know, one time there was a pressure cooker, and it just kind of suddenly just the valve on it, the safety valve popped, and just everything sprayed out of it, and it was really startling. I said, wow, that would have been. And it wasn't 5 seconds after she said that the exact same thing happened to us right there. The valve exploded, and this chicken broth and grease and all this kind of stuff just sprayed up out of it, all over the ceiling, all over the walls, chicken everywhere. And fortunately, we were far enough back that it didn't scald us or we didn't get hurt. But we're like both just absolutely startled and amazed that this would happen. And guys, that is a circumstance, and that is a happening that you don't soon forget. And it just kind of showed me, you know, things can happen. When there's enough pressure happening inside, the stuff can just kind of go, can kind of explode. And it got me thinking about life. And you know, sometimes we have a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of pressures on us. And it's what's inside, when those pressures come, it's what's inside that's what's going to spill out. You've probably had this happen to you before, where you're at a gathering, maybe pre-COVID, and you got some coffee, and it's crowded, and people are bumping around, and somebody bumps into you, and you get this full cup of coffee, and they bump into you, and then that happens, right? And that happens. It all spills out, and it gets all over you, and you know, it's no fun. But what I learned here is that it's whatever that's inside, when you get bumped, whatever is inside, is going to spill out. Guys, the last 8 months have been very challenging, and we got a lot of bumps. We've gotten rattled. We've gotten challenged. But what I'm learning and what God's teaching me is that whatever inside of me is what spills out. And I want to make sure what's inside of me is good. Come with me to a passage in the book of Acts as we continue this series called Unstoppable Christmas. And guys, we're just going to keep going in Acts for another couple of weeks here as we get closer to Christmas. And we're going to learn about this today. We're going to learn about living inside out, living a life that's not determined by what happens to us on the outside, the circumstances surrounding us, but rather living life from the inside out. And so that when circumstances hit us or rattle us or disturb us, what spills out of us is good stuff. What spills out of us is from God. So let's look at this passage together. The setting, you guys know, the apostles have been sharing about Jesus and his death and resurrection, and they're out in the streets, and finally they get in trouble because so many people are responding. The authorities get concerned because they had arrested Jesus, you know, some weeks earlier and thought they were done with him, but now here they are talking about his resurrection. And they bring Peter and John before the Sanhedrin and say, we don't want you ever to talk about this man again, never teaching that name again. And they say, well, guys, you know, if you think it's better for us to obey you rather than God, well, that's your deal. You decide that. But for us, we can't stop speaking what we've seen and heard. And so they just keep on telling the good news of Jesus, and they go back to the church. The church prays together for boldness. Pastor Brandon talked about that last weekend. And he ended with this verse, and I want you to look at it. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That was what was inside now, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And they got rattled, and they got challenged, and they got confronted. But what spilled out was this. They began to speak the word of God boldly. The word of God came spilling out of them. Boldness and goodness and faithfulness spilled out of them. So today I want to talk to you about having that Holy Spirit filling us from the inside so that when the challenges of life hit us, what spills out of us is from God. I want to give you some traits that we read about in the next section of Acts chapter 4 that describes the early life of the church, and it describes the traits of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit that day. The place where their meeting was shaken, but they were filled with God. Let's look. First, let's focus on what unites us and not what divides us. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God focus on who unites us, Jesus, and not what divides us. So verse 32, now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind. In other words, they were unified. Everybody was together. They had so many differences among them. I mean, this was like 20,000, 30,000 people, guys. It wasn't a small group. And there's a great amount of diversity of nationality and ethnicity and backgrounds and opinions, just like us, right? I mean, here at Valley Church, last time somebody counted, I think we had 20 nationalities represented. And we got lots of opinions about all sorts of stuff. And it's been a challenging year with, you know, the polarization, with the pandemic, with the injustices we've seen, with all the turmoil. But what's spilling out of us? What spilled out of the church when they were challenged was unity. They came together. They didn't let what was happening around them divide them. Instead, they came together even more strongly because who they had, Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit, was way more important than what they could have divided them. They were one on heart and mind. They had a deep unity. It wasn't not an organizational unity. They didn't have it all organized and figured out. It wasn't uniformity, like everybody just thought and exactly the same. They had differences of opinion. And it wasn't unanimity. They genuinely had differences of opinion. But what they had was true biblical unity because the Holy Spirit had bonded them together. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And guys, we've been through a lot, but we come together. And I've been so thankful and proud of Valley Church that through all of this, the thousands of people who call Valley Church church home, we have lots of different opinions about all sorts of stuff, but we major on the majors and we've stayed together and we've stayed true to one another. And what I want to encourage you is, if in any relationship you have, whether it's in your family, whether it's with a friendship, or it's with your brothers and sisters in Christ, if any of those have gotten sideways because of secondary issues, let's come back. Let's be filled up the Holy Spirit within so that when those challenges and when those disagreements come, what spills out of us is goodness and love and joy and peace. And speaking the truth, of course, but in love. Let's always do that, all right? Because as Jesus taught us, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Look at what Tony Evans posted. They will know that you are my disciples by your... rules? Nope. Theology? Nope. Righteousness? Nope. Power? Nope. Rhetoric? Nope. Purity? Nope. Clubs? Nope. They'll know you are my disciples by your love. That's what sets us apart, and that's what must set us apart in these days. When everybody else is going crazy and losing it and freaking out, the Church of Jesus Christ comes together, unified in the Holy Spirit, and we major on the majors. Our faith in Jesus Christ is so much greater than those things that might divide us. Unity is a testimony. It's the most underrated form of outreach that the church has. When the outside world looks in and says people who love each other in spite of their differences, it speaks to them. Okay, second trait of people who are filled up with the Holy Spirit from the inside, what comes out, is they shift from selfishness to generosity. They shift from selfishness to generosity. Here's what it says. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. They had this human nature transformation. You know, guys, a little child, when a child first starts talking, you know, one of the first words is mama, and then probably dada. But one of those early first words for many little children is mine. mine. This belongs to me. And as human beings, we are territorial by nature. We are possessive by nature. We are jealous by nature. We are selfish by nature. And we don't always grow out of it as adults. I remember as a kid with my brothers and sisters, especially my little sister, we would be in a room and we couldn't get along. And finally, we would just draw a line in the middle of the room and said, "This is mine, this side, and that's yours." Or in the back seat of the car, we draw this line and say, "You stay on your side, I'll stay on mine." Yeah, that's human nature. Into adulthood, we can still be selfish. But here we find in the early church is this remarkable attitude and lifestyle. They're saying, you know what? No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They said, it's from God's hand. God gave this to me. And so I'm going to share it with those who are in need. Nobody made them do this. This was completely voluntary. This passage is not suggesting that we're supposed to sell everything and live in a commune together, or that any disparity in wealth is necessarily evil. You get descriptions way past this in the Bible, after the book of Acts, where people, there's wealthy people, there's poor people, and this isn't good or evil in and of itself. But you have people who do have means and resources, and they're moved to compassionately care for others. What this passage is telling me is that people that live from the inside out take care of each other. And if I can help you, or if you have a need, it's not enough for me to say, well, that's okay. No, I want to help you. And people who are living from the inside out are stirred with generosity. They lose their selfishness that is normal to human nature. And they said, I want to share with others. And I've got to tell you guys, I want to bless Valley Church. I want to encourage you guys. I mean, over the years here at Valley Church, I don't know, I've lost track, well over $1 million. It may be $2 million or more that have been given to our Koinonia Fund, which is set aside to help people who are truly in need in our church family first, but then also in our community and our partners. And we help people out. And this year, though, guys, you really stepped up because it was challenging. And you gave almost $200,000 to our Koinonia Fund to meet the needs of some folks in need around us. And I want to tell you, it makes a difference because you're helping that single mom who's really struggling, and you're helping her pay the bills. You're helping that person that lost their job. You're helping that person that had that catastrophic situation or that health crisis or just somebody who's in deep need. You're helping them. And I want to bless you for that. That's the Spirit of God. That's living inside out. Way to go. And I want to encourage you guys. They learn to share and you can too. And you have. So just let that stir so that if you have any tendency or if you see a need out there and you want to hold on and maybe God's stirring you, go ahead and give into that impulse to be generous. It's better to give too much than too little. All right, let's keep going. Thirdly, people who are filled with the Spirit of God, living from the inside out, boldly tell others that Jesus is alive. It says in verse 33, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, these are guys who had just been told, you be quiet and never speak in his name ever again. And they don't stop at all. They're bold, they're unafraid, they're joyful, and they're letting everybody know the good news of Jesus. They ignored the threats. They couldn't help but speaking the name of Jesus. And they had an incredibly impactful witness. Thousands of people continued to come to know Jesus. They had a bold message that wasn't watered down. It was the gospel. When it says they shared the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Bible, that's shorthand for they share the gospel. And they had this incredible message, and this is the good news, that we were created in the image and likeness of God to have fellowship with him, and he created us in this beautiful world, but we went astray, but God loved us so much that he sent his son, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh, he became one of us, and he lived a life that we could not live, and then he died a death that we don't want to die. As the pure, spotless, unblemished Lamb of God, he took upon himself our sins on the cross. He paid the full penalty for the justice and righteousness of God. And then God raised him on the third day, forever defeating sin and death. He ascended into heaven, and now through this international community called the church, he's beginning to bring restoration And one day he will bring a full restoration and a renewal of all things and a new heavens and a new earth. And that's the message that we boldly, unashamedly, no matter what pressures come our way, we keep telling that message. And if you today, you know, if you've never crossed that line of faith, if you've never trusted in that incredible good news, I urge you today, turn around, go running straight to God, and he'll receive you as you trust in him. We boldly tell the good news of Jesus. That's what people living on the inside out do. So keep telling that message throughout this Christmas season. All right? Fourth thing that people who are living from the inside out, filled up with the Spirit of God, do is they experience God's grace firsthand. It says here, and great grace was on all of them. The word there, great grace, is like mega grace, literally. Mega grace, like supersized grace. And it was upon all of them. They had this sense that God had just poured out on them a gigantic quantity of grace. His undeserved favor and blessing. His mercy, his compassion, his truth, his goodness, his love, his truth. He poured out on them. Now guys, I was thinking about this week, you know, in American culture, in fast foods, here's a little chart here. We've had these drinks that we get, and over the years and decades, they've gradually been getting bigger. So you start way back over here on the right side, the original fountain drink, McDonald's, 1955, it was 7 ounces. That's it. And then they went to a little bigger size, and they went to the kids' size, was 12 ounces in 2012. And then the supersized McDonald's, 42 ounce, Burger King goes to 42 ounce, KFC goes to 64 ounces, gas station goes to 85 ounces, Come and Go goes to 100 ounces, and 7-Eleven goes to 128 ounces. That's a gallon, guys. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's supersized, really. And, you know, no matter what you think of that, I mean, that's kind of fun to think about. But here's what's sad, is that sometimes in our relationships with each other, even though God keeps supersizing our grace toward us, we don't always do that for each other. We don't always have supersized grace for one another. But these folks in the early church, they were different. You know, they knew that God's grace was on them, great grace was on them, and they gave it away to others. So I want to challenge you today. Is there somebody in your life today that you feel like giving them no grace, or maybe like 7 ounces of grace, and that's it? I think God's maybe prodding me and prodding you to say, I need to supersize it. You know, love covers over a multitude of sins. And there's probably a lot of things that's happened over the last 8 months that have been challenging to you. And maybe it's been so challenging that you've gotten filled up inside with some stuff that's not really from God. And you get rattled or you get shaken or you get bumped. And out comes something that's not grace. It's something else. Maybe today is the day that you ask God to refill you, supersize you with grace so that you can turn around and extend that supersized grace to somebody else. I want to encourage you. There's somebody out there who needs more grace from you. Can you make that happen? Can you make that in the spirit of Christmas, giving more grace to somebody? You know, years ago, I learned that as a parent, you have to learn this. And you give grace to your kids. And by the way, your kids also learn to supersize their grace toward you. Our daughter, Angela, she was, at this time, 16 years old. She'd just gotten her driver's license. I handed her the keys to a car, and I said, hey, you know what? I want to challenge you. I have not had an accident that I've caused in so many years, and I want to challenge you to break my record, break my streak. She says, okay, I'll do my best. And Angela, if you know her, is an uber-responsible person. But sadly, unfortunately, 10 days later, she calls me up, and she says, Dad, I've had an accident. Are you okay? Yeah, we're okay. Okay, it's no problem, but the car is in bad shape, and there's a it's leaking radiator fluid. I said, oh, okay. Well, just stay where you are. I went in the garage. I grabbed 2 gallons of Prestone antifreeze, hopped in my car, raced over to the vehicle. I come up to the scene, and I want to describe it for you guys. The scene is a widespread scene. There's a hazmat vehicle there. They're spraying down materials to consume all the radiator fluid that's all over this massive area. There's a fire truck there. There's a couple of police cars. I mean, it is a big scene. And I have stepped out of my car with my little 2 gallons of Prestone, and it's like, nope. And I put them back in the car, and I walked slowly to Angela into the car. And it really didn't look that bad, but she had bumped over a curb and hit a rock that just had gone underneath the car and just destroyed it from below. And the owner of the home where it was says, "Don't. If it makes you feel any better, she's not the first one. That's why that rock is there." And I said, "Thanks, I think." And Angela asked me, she said, "Dad, are you mad?" And I said, "Well, I'm not happy." And we got in the car and we drove home, my car. Her car was towed away. It was totaled. But you know what? It wasn't too long before I said, you know what? She's a great kid. She didn't mean for this to happen. And she's okay. And you know what? Grace, when you love people, just grace just overcomes it all. So that's what I'd encourage you to do. Extend that grace to somebody who needs it. All right, let's keep going. Number 5, those who are living from the inside out, they show practical compassion in real life. They're filled up with the Spirit of God, and they show practical compassion in real life. Verse 34, there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as any had need. See, their caring was extremely practical. It wasn't just spiritual. Christianity wasn't just like spiritual, like prayer and Bible study and, you know, talking God stuff. It was actually practical. It got into the nitty-gritty of real life needs. And they saw people that were hurting or saw people at needs, and they made significant sacrifices here, guys. See, real Christianity is not just the spiritual stuff. It's the real life needs of other people. And grace gets messy sometimes. Occasionally, I have people to say to me, you know, pastor, or send an email or something, I really want to go deep. And usually what they mean by going deep is they want to get into a more complicated Bible study. They want to learn more about words and paragraphs and theology and, you know, etymology of Hebrew words or Greek words or whatever. And that's going deep for them. And it is. I applaud that. I love that stuff. And that is going deep into the scriptures. But sometimes going deep just means opening up your wallet and parting with something that's of value to you for the sake of another person. It's giving something that's important to you and sacrificing for the sake of another person. That's really going deep. So I want to encourage you to do that. You know, they sacrificed for each other. And poverty was a significant problem in the first century, much worse in first century Jerusalem than it is in America today. And they made significant sacrifices. Look at what it says here. It says they actually sold lands, fields, or houses. These were huge sacrifices. And they laid it at the apostles' feet. I love what it says there. In other words, they're saying there's a detachment there. There's a holy and happy detachment. It's like, you know what? I got this from God. He gave it to me. Now I'm releasing it. And there are some needs here that I see around me. And they give it to the leadership. And they said, meet those needs. And that's beautiful. They weren't looking for recognition. They weren't looking for honor. They weren't looking for having their names up in lights. They just wanted to help people. And that's a beautiful thing. People who live from the inside out show practical compassion in real life. You know, guys, I want to tell you something. 2 of our core values at Valley Church is we love our community and we pursue boundless generosity. And during this pandemic, you guys have demonstrated that over and over and over again. You're living out what this passage is talking about. So during this Christmas season, I want to encourage you, open up your heart, open up your eyes to see what would God have me to do. Fill me up so I can see the needs around me and meet those needs that exist. They had a loose hold on the resources that God entrusted them, and they wanted to meet needs. Here's some ways you can do it. We mailed to you a pamphlet called Unstoppable Christmas, some generosity opportunities. And every year at Valley Church, at the year end, Valley Church people step up and they go even above and beyond their regular giving to meet the needs that exist in our ministries fund, but then even beyond that, to meet the needs of some special projects. And I want to share some of those with you. Please read them. We'll be talking about them over the next several weeks. But start praying about how God might move you. And there's all sorts of ones. One I want to just focus on today is Hidden Acres. Hidden Acres is an incredible Christian ministry. It's a Christian camp about an hour from here. They're our longest standing partners. We have been partners with Hidden Acres for over 30 years. And they have been impacting thousands and thousands of people year in and year out. But let me tell you something. The pandemic of 2020 was pretty rough on Hidden Acres. They were unable to have nearly as many campers as they usually do. And of course, that they take a hit in their revenue. And you know what? We love Hidden Acres. We love what they've done for hundreds and hundreds of us at this church and thousands at other places and people in our community and all throughout the Midwest. This is their need this hour, and we want to step up in a big way and bless Hidden Acres Christian Center and say, we love you guys, we're cheering you on, and we want to come alongside you in your hour of need with generosity. So start praying about that one. That's just one, but there are many others that we'll mention, but that's one. We can really meet some practical needs there. That's what people who are living from the inside out do. They hold what God has entrusted to them loosely, and when they see a need, they meet it. And I want to tell you guys, I just want to say to you, you know, you need to meet the needs of your family, of course. But then the second thing that I read in the scriptures is you give generously to your spiritual family. And that's the body of Christ. That's the local church. And then you look to other opportunities that come into your pathway. But I want to unapologetically urge you to have Valley Church, when you think about your charitable giving here at the end of the year, to have Valley Church at the very top of your list. Because you know us. And I think we have a proven track record of being trustworthy with those funds and being good stewards of that fund to bless the maximum number of people and to help the maximum number of people in our community. And we bless many other organizations through Valley Church. So just keep praying about that as we get closer to year end. All right? Join the incredible generosity movement here at Valley Church. And then lastly, number six trait that people who are just living from the inside out have is they make bold faith moves to advance the kingdom of God. Here, it's just focused on one individual. Joseph, it says, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas is this great example for us of a guy who made a bold faith move in an individual life. He was one in heart and mind with the church there, and they welcomed him. He was an immigrant, not from Jerusalem. He's from Cyprus, far away, and they welcomed him, and he just fit right in. And he was this incredible leader. He shared unselfishly. He cared deeply. Barnabas was a man, we're going to learn in the rest of the book of Acts, a man of tremendous giftedness and love and a heart for reaching others. And the apostles actually gave him a nickname. They said his real name was Joseph, but the apostles called him Barnabas. And the name Barnabas comes, it's Hebrew name, and it comes from Bar Nabas, which means son of Bar, encouragement, Nabas. And they said, you know, Barnabas, he's just the encouragement guy. He's just always encouraging everyone. You know, if you're down, Barnabas is going to lift you up. If you have a need, he's going to help you out. If you need some direction, he's going to be there with wise counsel. He's just incredible. He's the son of encouragement. He's an encouragement guy. And he actually got a nickname from the 12 apostles. Incredible. And my question for you today, as you think about living from the inside out, is what nickname do you want to get? If the apostles were going to nickname you, what nickname would you want them to give to you? Because the reality is, everybody has a nickname. You know, there's things that people say about us. What do we want them to be saying about us? You know, I'd rather them not say, well, he's the gossip guru, or she's Negative Nelly, or she's Debbie Downer, or he's Mean Guy Manny, or High Maintenance Harry. I don't really want those to be my nicknames. Instead, I'd hope they'd say about some of us, she's Lexi, the one they call the good neighbor, She's continually looking out for the needs of others. Or there's Bill, the one they call the generosity guy. He gave sacrificially to meet a huge need in the church and to advance the kingdom. Or there's Jessica. They nicknamed her Joyful Jessica because she was always volunteering to make a difference, and she was always there with a word to put a smile on somebody's face. Or there was Justin, the one they nicknamed the Bridge Builder, who was constantly reaching out to bring people together and to share his faith in Jesus. See, we want, all of us want a nickname that represents who we are on the inside and that spills out on the outside. That's living life from the inside out. Guys, I want to close with this today. Barnabas, they tell a little bit more about him in the rest of the book of Acts. And there's one particular passage in chapter 11 that says this. When Barnabas, that's our hero, arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. Yeah, he's an encourager. That's what he does. And then it says why he was such an encourager. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. That was what was on the inside. And then what came spilling out of him? And large numbers of people were added to the Lord. Barnabas is the epitome of living inside out. And I'm praying and I'm asking you to be that kind of person, filled up with the Holy Spirit and faith, so that when you get rattled or bumped or jostled, what comes spilling out is incredible grace and goodness. Father, thank you for this incredible passage. Thank you for the encouragement it is to live from the inside out. And now, Lord, as we come to this time of communion, we pray, oh God, that you would focus our hearts on Jesus. And Lord, this is our opportunity, each one of us, to be filled up, to be filled from the inside out, as we remember how much you loved us, Lord Jesus. So help us to do that even now as we come to this table and remember you in the bread and in the cup. And all God's people agreed and said, amen, amen.